From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour was made August 19th, 2015. That's 1 year ago Friday on Genesee Street in Rochester. Just after 11 p.m. that night, a crowd was exiting the Boys and Girls Club after a basketball game, and a car rolled by, the man firing multiple shots from an AK-47 into the crowd. Three young men died. Others were injured. And the shooting not only devastated multiple families, it caused anger and confusion throughout our community. Who would fire into a crowd outside the Boys and Girls Club? What would motivate anyone to do that? On Friday, the club will hold a remembrance ceremony honoring the lives lost. In this hour, we're going to do that as well. But we're also looking forward, and maybe you'd be surprised to learn that after that mass shooting, enrollment and attendance at the Boys and Girls Club has gone up. The community is overcoming fear. They are seeking out better options for Rochester's youth. And I think sometimes the work at that organization is underreported. Not today. Let me go ahead and welcome our guests for the hour. Dwayne Mahoney is back. He's the executive director of the Boys and Girls Club. And Dwayne, welcome back. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Evan.
Bishop Willie Davis is here. Bishop, thank you for being here.
Thanks, Evan.
Tamara Shepherd is here, a licensed social worker with the Rochester City School District and a club alum. Is that right?
Yes.
And Tamara, make sure we're right up on that microphone because I want to hear you nice and clearly. Nice to see you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Wanye Bruce is here, Boys and Girls Club of Rochester's Youth of the Year and Western New York Youth of the Year. And Wanye, that's a great honor. Congratulations to you, and I look forward to hearing your story. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Evan.
Dwayne, how are you doing this week? I mean, it has to be such a mix of emotions because you've been resilient. There's been a lot of healing and strength in the face of what happened a year ago. But as we get close to Friday marking a year, it has to be, you know, in many ways, I imagine it is still very difficult.
Yeah, I think it's difficult every time you kind of go through the parking lot. Especially this week, given, you know, you want everything to for Friday to be right for the families. You know, you don't want to do anything disrespectful. You want to make sure that you always are honoring the three young men in the right way. And so, you know, that's always the worry leading up to Friday.
And I know there is a ceremony on Friday at the Boys and Girls Club, but what I don't know, and you can help explain, Dwayne, is whether you want the community. And it's not that you wouldn't want the community there. It's just a question of if it's open to the community or if it's more private for the families there on Friday.
Yeah, I think given where it is, it's open to the community.
Okay.
I would say that we're meeting with the police department tomorrow just to talk about traffic and things like that. One of the things we can't control is who knows about it and who doesn't. But you know, through word of mouth and the fact that you know many people knew you know these young men and knew the family, you know, we suspect that you know there could be a pretty large contingent of people, but we didn't feel that we could limit who decided that they needed to be there.
So remind our listeners again, just who was lost and what you want the community to know about those men.
Well, the three young men that were lost, Johnny Ray, as we call them, and Jonah. You know, they were young men in the community that were you know. I always say that there's a lot of potential for promise with the three young men, and they never got an opportunity to, really show people what they can do. That was cut short on that night. They were there just enjoying like the rest of us, enjoying the basketball game. And, fortunately for us, we are fortunate that most of the people had already gone. Otherwise, you know, I don't know how many more people could have been hurt. I think the theme for me this whole week and going forward is I oftentimes, you know, you see so much of these tragedies, and then, you know, a year later, 2 years later, 3 years later, it dissipates in terms of the remembrance of the people. And so, I just would hope that we don't forget these young men at all, that we always remember that. And I think that if we start to allow that to happen, sometimes the larger issue, which is, you know, gun violence, kind of becomes, you know, we can become desensitized to some of it. You know, we start to, it's not the lead story anymore on the news. It's more of like the norm. And so I think if we keep these three young men, you know, first and foremost, that, you know, this is a the same, you know, in the same way that it was that first, you know, week. I think it's important to just always remember them.
Dwayne, I know before what happened a year ago, you have worked with families impacted by violence. You've known young people who've known someone or been impacted by violence. That's not new, sadly, in our city. But did you ever imagine that it could happen right outside the Boys and Girls Club itself? Did you ever think that that kind of scene that we saw on that tragic night was even possible?
No, we've all, you know, grown up in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know, Wanye lives around the corner. We've heard, you know, shots, and we've seen, you know, we've seen more than we should probably see in that neighborhood, given the amount of years I've worked there. But, you know, I don't think anybody, except for the people that were there, really understand how, you know, how horrific, you know, that particular night was, and, you know, how many people were impacted or still impacted, you know, by what happened. It's, you know, it's really a national tragedy, not just a local tragedy.
Wanye, do you remember hearing about it? I mean, where were you that night?
I was actually at a concert at Darien Lake when I got the call. And honestly, like Mr. Mahoney said, it's something you would never expect to happen, because the Boys and Girls Club is supposed to be that safe place that kids and teenagers go to. So the fact that that happened at the Boys and Girls Club was definitely ironic for the whole community. We never expected it. But yeah, I was at a concert when I got the call.
I remember talking to people that week, and you know, there were a lot of people who were worried that this was going to hurt the Boys and Girls Club going forward, and organizations like that, because, you know, there was a lot of confusion and fear, and the question of who did this, and, you know, would the police be able to figure it out, and why they would target that particular crowd at that particular place. Wanye, did you ever even think that it would change your habits about the Boys and Girls Club? Would you think your peers would feel differently about going there?
Honestly, from the people that I know from the Boys and Girls Club, I don't think it would have changed anything. Like, for people that haven't gone there, I could see why people would shy away from going there because of what happened. But honestly, like, enrollment has increased and people are still going there, so that's a good thing about it. And I'm not surprised that that has happened because of the new innovations and the family that the Boys and Girls Club creates.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about that more as we go throughout the hour. Have you known people in your own life impacted by violence, Wanye?
Yes, I have.
And what do you see as the impact of a year ago at the Boys and Girls Club? We lost three young men. Other people were hurt that night. And, you know, do you feel this community is healing? You know, you're there. You understand the club and that neighborhood. Are we healing, or is there still a lot of anger and confusion? What do you think?
I think we're more on the healing process now. And honestly, there's still that anger for what happened because, like I said, why do that to the Boys and Girls Club? But I definitely see that we're healing, which is a good thing.
Bishop, talk about healing. You know, that's your sweet spot, and that's not always easy. I mean, how do you see it right now?
Well, I think that we have to confront this culture of violence in the community, and I think one of the most important strategies of doing that is through healing and reconciliation. We as a community in the city of Rochester, we're very resilient. We don't give up the struggle. We never give in to the fight. And I think we're blessed to have people that truly care about one another and about the institutions that have made this city great and important, such as the Boys and Girls Club. And for that reason, you see the Boys and Girls Club growing and coming back stronger than it ever has been. It's a place where kids feel safe, you know. And so people will continue to work, even the children work even harder to show just how important this institution is in the community.
I'll also mention that, you know, as we move past the shooting in this discussion, don't want to lose sight of just the respect we have for Ray, Johnny, and Jonah's families. And I know it's going to be a hard week for them. Some families are very public with their grief after a loss. Sometimes they take up a cause, and some are very private. And we don't have any of them here today, but we just if they happen to be listening or anyone who knew and loved them, I just hope they are feeling love and support from the community this week, certainly from all of us here. And because I know it's going to be a tough week, but you know, Ray, Johnny, and Jonah, and you know, we miss you and your families. We're certainly thinking about you. Tamara, how did you react when this happened in both your role as someone who's a licensed social worker, understanding how these kind of things can impact communities, but also as an alum of the club?
Well, I was actually out of state mm-hmm. when I found out about what happened. I tuned into Facebook, as many people go to social media to see current events, and my timeline just kept getting flooded with different things. So I had to call back and touch base with my mom just to confirm what I was hearing. So to have been a member for so long and to not be in the area when that happened, it did have an impact, because that was considered like a safe zone. You know, the Boys and Girls Club was just not the place where stuff like this would happen. You know, different things happened around the area, but not there, not in an open crowd. And it just kind of, as a social work perspective, it kind of highlighted the need for better coping strategies, better communication skills, just kind of how we've learned to be so reactive instead of being able to take differences, you know, whatever disagreements that you might have, or just that impulsiveness. There's like a culture of impulsiveness and reaction within our community when it comes to violence, and just reinforcing that need to be able to intervene, have people talk more, have people reach out to resources more versus turn into guns and opening on people, but then a crowd of people too, just kind of lack of respect for life.
Yeah, and there's no single answer on how to fix this. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's complex, and I am going to want to turn back to Bishop Davis on a word he mentioned, reconciliation. I think that's an important word to explore. But when you talk about making a decision not to react impulsively with violence, that is so complex and difficult mm-hmm. to crack that and to get into that mindset with young people who may come from trauma themselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, so many people who inflict violence have come from trauma. We know that. Mm-hmm. So what do you see as maybe a first step that we can do better to start preventing that?
Well, I think it would take the school community and the outside community, for instance, with recreation centers like the Boys and Girls Club, having programs there to talk with children, to kind of communicate better, to identify their feelings, to process through them, kind of change this culture of not wanting to talk about things, whether we call it snitching or whether we, you know, call it tattletaling or however. When you're younger, you're kind of taught to not talk about things, to hold things in, especially for young men. We kind of encourage them to be tough and to be strong, and not knowing how that impacts them as they get older. And especially in the school environment, again, just kind of reinforcing, offering, okay, we have to really promote thinking before we do stuff. And that comes from adults modeling that as well. Again, a lot of this is learned behavior. When you're in an environment where you see people reacting and doing things, we forget that there's someone behind us watching to see how we're handling things and how we're doing things. So I think as a community in general, to be more aware of what we're doing and how we respond.
And not to oversimplify, but the continuing effort to alleviate poverty mm-hmm. is a big one, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It's huge.
Yeah. Well, Bishop Davis, reconciliation is a word you use. Can you tell me a little bit more about your thoughts on that word and how it plays into this?
Well, it's huge, to say the least. There are some things that I honestly believe that we're going to have to come to grips with in this community. And there are some very, very hard and harsh realities that we as a community have to face. You just brought up one, poverty. Mm-hmm. There's no easy answers to any of these issues that we face as a community. And it's going to take time. But as I first stated, that we're a resilient community. We don't run away from the issues that we need to confront. And as we so we continue to work hand in hand with one another, we can overcome whatever the issues are that we need to address. I think one of the strategies that we need to look at is how do we support a citywide planning and implementation of a comprehensive violence prevention plan that includes prevention, intervention, enforcement, rehabilitation, and also reentry to address violence reduction in our community. It can't be just one single strategy. It has to have, it has to be multi-pronged.
You say reentry?
Reentry as well, yes. The person that did the shooting, I believe, was on parole. We have to look comprehensively from one end of the spectrum to the other end of the spectrum, because the players, there's a very small, minute part of our community that's bringing the violence into this city. We have to do something about that element. And so if we leave, if we don't address them and just try to ignore them, we continue to have the impact that we're seeing here. So you can't leave reentry out.
No, absolutely not. We, on past programs, we have explored the evidence. I say often on this program, I'm an evidence person. Show me the evidence. Let me understand the evidence. And I went into these conversations understanding that there are some people who want harsher, tougher, longer sentences, even longer than we currently have, almost as a way of retribution and penalty. But then there's the question of, is rehabilitation even on the table? Is it a priority? And the answer is, the evidence shows our prison system doesn't really work because rehabilitation is not really a priority.
No, it's
almost
not.
Exclusively not a priority throughout the country's system. That's why recidivism is higher. That's why you've got crimes that happen when people are on parole. That's why. So, again, I'm not on a soapbox. I'm just looking at evidence. Objectively speaking, your point about reentry is backed up by the facts. It doesn't really work, and that has to be part of the conversation.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I think the bishop makes a – I think we can't leave that out, and I'm glad you brought that up here. Listeners, if you want to call the program and talk about these issues, and then as we move into Boys and Girls Club current work, you can call the program 844-295-TALK. It's toll-free, 844-295-8255. Or if you're in Rochester, it's 263-WXXI. 263-9994. You can find me on Twitter at Evan Dawson. You can email me at edawson@wxxi.org. Friday marks a year since the mass shooting outside the Boys and Girls Club. And since that time, the attendance and enrollment has grown. And, you know, Dwayne Mahoney's a modest guy. He said, look, you know, we've expanded some of the facilities. But, you know, you've really led, I think, an important year. You're marking a year from that event. You're moving forward. Let's talk about the good things that are happening there. And let me also step back and ask you just to define the mission, because for those of us who didn't attend Boys and Girls Club, we hear about it generally speaking. But how many do you serve here, and how do you define the mission?
Well, we're a local affiliate of the Boys and Girls Clubs of America. So we, for the most part, we follow a model that's been used for over 100 years. And it's really just to provide after-school services to young people, and then off of that, you know, any needs that kids have, our club does some things that maybe another club in Sacramento or somewhere else doesn't implement. But it's based on, you know, community need, everything from, you know, working with kids with disabilities to helping kids decide what schools are best fits for their families. But for the most part, you know, we have various core areas of programming, everything from arts and cultural to our particular club. We have a big emphasis on reading. We run an accelerated reading program, which is kind of a staple program for us. It's actually a mandatory program. If you if you want to be a Boys and Girls Club member, you have to be willing to join the reading program. That particular site, last year we read over 12,000 books. We also test on every book read. The expansion really was to bring some of the areas that kids through surveys, parents, and staff felt like we weren't able to accomplish. And then we have some other clubs that are very experienced in, you know, the arts, dance. So we added a recording studio. We added a dance studio. We added an art studio. We expanded the reading program room. We expanded facilities for the, we have a golf program for years. We even put a golf simulator into the club. Just put natural light into the club. You know, the person who left the lead gift, a lady named Kathy Holt, before she had passed, had long since said, you know, I want kids in this area to have the same thing that I see downtown, where she was on the board of the Science Museum, the Museum and Science Center. And she said, you know, we have those things in the downtown area, but we don't have them in, you know, different areas of the city. So, you know, she said, you know, I would love to see a structure similar to those facilities in the Southwest. And so I think that was one of the reasons, you know, Kathy left the lead gift to do the expansion.
10,000 square foot, is that the?
Yeah, it's a little under 10,000 mm-hmm. square feet, but it we prior to that there were, you know, everything from not having, we were losing about 20 hours of computer time because we didn't have a second computer lab. There were just various reasons for needing every inch of the expansion that we put into it.
And again, you help boys and girls starting at what age?
6 to 18 years of age. However, we do have some kids that are 19, and we do have some kids that start at 5. It depends on the program.
When did Wanye start? I want to know when you first started going to the Boys and Girls Club.
I actually started going to the Boys and Girls Club at 4.
At 4?
Yeah, because
you were a rule breaker.
Yeah, my older brother knew Mr. Mahoney well, and I wanted to go so bad because, like, I saw how great of a place it was.
Do you remember being 4 years old?
I remember being
You do?
Four. I remember my brother coming home, like, every day during the summer and just, like, bragging about it. So I was like, I got to get there. And thankfully, he let me go at 4.
At 4 years old. Okay. And so what are your first memories of it, Wanya?
My first memories were, I say, watching the older kids play basketball because I was so young and I just wanted to get to that point where I was good at basketball like them. And everybody was just so, like, adapting to, like, they were like a family. They didn't look at me just as a four-year-old. They looked at me like I was their little brother or something. So I definitely remember that family aspect.
And you kept going.
Mm-hmm.
You ever have a break in that four to, well, how old are you now?
18.
18. You ever have a break? You've been going since you were 4?
I've been going since I was 4.
And so as you got older, obviously the programs change, the offerings change. What was the impact on you over time? How would you describe that?
I definitely say the Boys and Girls Club made me who I am today, especially with my character and how I present myself, because that's 14 years of my life, and that's, like, probably where I spent most of my life. So obviously I'm going to get some things that I do now from there. And honestly, like I said before, my character and my development has come from the Boys and Girls Club, and I'm so thankful for that.
Well, Wanye is Youth of the Year. Dwayne, you want to tell me a little bit how he ended up in that role?
Yeah, we look at all the, for us, it's a national program.
Mm-hmm.
The National Youth of the Year gets a 30-minute audience with the President of the United States. So they have a, your local club has a Youth of the Year program. We also happen to have a Western New York Youth of the Year program with clubs all the way from here to Jamestown. And then there's a New York State Youth of the Year program. The state winners go to regionals, and then they pick the 5 regional winners who get a chance to meet the president. So we always try to select seniors, juniors or seniors. The program is open to kids 14 to 18, but we just feel like 17 and 18-year-olds have a better chance of winning, juniors and seniors. Wanye, you know, we selected Wanye. One, his brother Deuce was the Youth of the Year years ago.
It's a great family, huh?
Yeah, great family. Great parents, great everything. And Wanye is also, you know, I know he gives the credit a lot to the Boys and Girls Club, but again, I always viewed Wanye as a kid that looked up to his older brother, and obviously his mom and dad. Anything you needed them to do, especially setting an example for other kids, that's a big thing for us. And so I thought he'd be the perfect choice. And you know, when we selected him, I told him, I said, listen, I think you have a chance to. We've had two state winners over the years that have won the state. It's really difficult to win to be the New York State Youth of the Year. There's a lot of, I mean, there's probably 51 clubs in organizations in New York State. A lot of the downstate clubs have a lot more opportunities, bigger budgets than
sure.
our Rochester club would. But, you know, we felt like Wanye was a perfect fit. And, you know, he proved that by winning the Western New York Youth of the Year program.
What's that mean to you, Wanye?
That means a lot to me because, like, the whole program, it actually helped me with so much. It helped me become a better public speaker and everything. And I definitely needed to become better at that because I always shy away from doing that and not have to do it if I didn't have to. So that program, winning it, it was a great thing and all, but I definitely see that it helped me better myself.
You looked up to your brother's Deuce?
My brother's Deuce, yes.
How old is Deuce? How much older?
He's 25 now.
So 7 years older than you?
Yes.
So you had a chance when you were 4 years old. You're watching Deuce go. You want to go. Who would you say when you were growing up you looked up to most in your life? Was Deuce part of that? Was it parents? Who'd you look up to?
I definitely say my parents and my brother Deuce, definitely.
And Dwayne is now talking about you as a Youth of the Year, not just because of the young man you've become, but because of the way you have been, I don't have to use the word mentor, but a great role model for other kids in this community, kids at Boys and Girls Club. Do you feel any responsibility yourself, or has that sort of been something that's just kind of happened? Are you thinking about younger kids who are looking up to other?
Oh, definitely, because I had that role model in my life as my brother. So I wanna be the best role model that I could be for them. So, like, I have to look out for them. As I look out for myself, I don't want to get into anything negative, because not only does that reflect me, that reflects the Boys and Girls Club community, my parents, and all the kids that look up to me. So I want to set that example so those kids can be better than I am.
Well, if you've been worried about your public speaking, you know, we don't produce transcripts of the show. We kind of should, but I'm always amazed that when you do that, I mean, you speak in almost perfectly beautiful paragraphs. So
that's
not always easy. Is this your first radio interview?
This is my first, yes.
Piece of cake for you.
Thank you.
Where did you go to school?
I went to Fairport High School.
Fairport High School. And
yes.
And you're going to go where now?
Niagara University.
Niagara University. What do you want to do?
Right now I want to do business management. I want to become a business analyst, but you never know, in 4 years that could change. So
yeah.
We'll see.
And you're not Youth of the Year nationally. It's just Western New York,
yes.
You know. But so I don't know if you'll ever get to meet the president. But if you could meet this president, what would you want to talk about with him?
That's actually something I actually think about sometimes. There's so many issues that we have going on, and not just issues. We have so many great things going on in our country. So I don't know. I would definitely talk about gun violence, I say, because that affected me as it affected my community. So I wanna get better with gun violence in America. So I would definitely bring that up with other things.
And Wanye, I would never presume to dig into the policy details on guns. There's a lot of proposals. It is complex.
Definitely.
I think everybody on all sides does want the best for this country, the best for our kids. I don't think there's a lot of bad faith out there. I always try to respect people on all sides. But I am curious to know if you feel any specific idea, especially after what happened last summer, a year ago Friday at the Boys and Girls Club. Is it too easy to get guns right now?
I believe so, yes. I mean, I think we need to give better background checks and ask the person what they're going to use that gun for and make sure they're not using it for any other purposes.
Tougher background checks. Well, Wanye is the Youth of the Year for the Boys and Girls Club of Rochester, and he's the Western New York Youth of the Year. You're finding out just an example why, and you're seeing an example of the kinds of young men and women who come through the Boys and Girls Club. That's what they want to be able to show the world at age 18, you know, when they're finishing up their time, however many years they've been at the Boys and Girls Club. We're going to get our only break of the hour, and we're going to come back and talk more about the programs that are offered there and what the community ought to know. Dwayne Mahoney is the executive director of the Boys and Girls Club. Bishop Willie Davis is here. You're hearing from Wanye Bruce, and Tamara Shepherd's here. She is a licensed social worker with the Rochester City School District and a club alum. More Connections next. Coming up in our second hour, we're talking about adult learning in Rochester. The Rochester Brainery has a brand new home. We're going to talk to them about what they hope to offer the community. Also talk to the folks from Osher, who present interesting subjects and learning opportunities on everything from literature to language and more. It's a chance for adults to learn and to soak up knowledge, and we'll talk about all of that next hour. All right, welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Dwayne, anything new at the club that we should know about?
Yeah, there are a few things. As I said, we did an expansion, and our enrollment prior to expansion used to be about 120 kids a day. We use a system that we was developed by the Children's Institute here in Rochester to track our average daily attendance. And so since we've expanded the building, our enrollment's gone up about 80 kids a day, and most of it is probably attributed to, obviously probably some of it is the look of the building. We've been doing a lot more public relations, but also we added a dance program, which has brought in a lot of different people. It's operated by Portia Johnson and her mom. A lot of people in the community know Miss Sweet Potato Pie. And so they've kind of joined the Boys and Girls Club family. We didn't have an art studio before, but the art studio allowed us to not only just do arts and crafts, but now we do everything from arts and crafts, fine arts. The kids are selling their artwork, and we're trying to even move into art therapy for some kids, and kids not necessarily that are into the that are club members right now. We've had some school districts ask us about art therapy for kids. As I said, we added a recording studio, a new computer lab, and expanded the kitchen. So we have almost a professional sized kitchen. We have a young man that runs his baking business out of the club. We have a meal for the kids every day. We expanded the teen center. And so I think all the different programs that we've added, each have allowed us to increase the enrollment. And as I said, we were averaging about 120. Now we're about 190, 200 kids a day.
So you've been growing. It's been a big year for you guys.
Yes.
And I wanted to just ask also as well, who is eligible? How do you get to be, you know, Wanye? How do you get to go?
Well, as long as you're 5 and, or I mean, 6 years of age, again, there's some programs. Our Biddy basketball program, we have some kids that start as early as 5. Wanye snuck in a little bit earlier than that, but you're eligible. You can also use your membership in a lot of ways at any club around the country. There are 4,200 clubs of, you know, different sizes and shapes in terms of budget sizes. We have some clubs that are $100,000 total budgets and some that are $20 million, you know, depending on the city. And so, you know, our membership is $11 a year to be a member. And then, you know, our whether you can be a member or not is based on your participation. And also, again, like we're accepting of all different types of kids. So our goal is to get them to become good citizens, understand what their role is in the community, you know, how the community works, how the world works, and what they need, you know, to be successful and not to make excuses for yourself, you know. So,
if we could, I just want to listen to some of the comments on this show on Monday. There was a young man by the name of Keenan Haynes, and he is a newly minted Rochester firefighter. He was an RCSD student and described himself as someone who didn't see a path for his own future. And then he got involved in the Career Pathways to Public Safety program. And so he's a firefighter now. He said that program helped him see a viable path to his own future when he didn't see one until his junior or senior year. And then he said something that really hit me. He said that too many people think that the dropout rate in Rochester and the graduation rate in Rochester City Schools is because of one thing or another that's not true. He said there's a lot of things that impact it, but he basically said, you know, it's not that, that students don't want to be in school or to graduate, but he said they're not seeing a path, especially when they're coming from either trauma or poverty, and they want to be able to envision. He said that's why he was, I said, what would you have done if you didn't get into firefighting? He said, I don't know, but I probably would have pursued sports. And he admitted that's not realistic for the vast, vast majority of kids as a career, but he just didn't see anything else. And I want to listen to some of his comments about that.
Personally, I feel as if high school, there's nothing that's keeping the students there anymore. We're learning math that we'll probably never use in our life, English, social studies stuff, you know, things that are good to know but aren't going to help us in life. I feel as if the reason why his program is so successful in this graduation rate is because it's something that's helping us with life, something that's getting us somewhere.
I thought that was really moving because, first of all, you know, I wanted to say, but social studies and English, those things do matter. But I get the point that he's making. He said those are things are good to know, but if you, especially if you come from a background where, you want to see a better future, it's hard to understand what that is. And maybe some of that is explaining to young students in the city why that matters, but also making sure they see other alternatives and opportunities. And I know the Boys and Girls Club has a diversity of programs that sometimes they're for fun, sometimes they're for helping learn skills. You talk about reading and everything. I'm curious to know what you make of these comments here, Dwayne.
I would agree with most of his comments. I think he's right on the not seeing a path. I mean, there are a number of kids that are visual learners, and you know, when you don't have an idea of, you know, I've had kids who have said to me, I don't know, I wouldn't have known what went on in that building unless somebody took me there and showed me what goes on. So, you know, we do a lot of career exploration for that reason. I think that what we have to get across that I don't know where he meant, and that is social studies, math, those things are important, and they're important for, they may not be important for the content of social studies, but they're important because you need to set a system for yourself in the sense of, I need to read these 100 pages, I need to get this report done. When I get into a job, I'm going to have the same kind of deadlines and same kind of pressure. So if anything else, even if you're never going to use the information again, you need to learn how to set goals for yourself, discipline yourself. And, you know, that's what a lot of what school is about is, you know, it's in a lot of these school buildings, it's navigating all the negative stuff so that you come out with something, and you've got to be able to, you know, got to be able to do that. And if you can prove you can do that, it's not necessarily about the content sometimes.
Yeah. Let me go around the table on this. Tamara Shepherd is a licensed social worker with the Rochester City School District. What did you make of his comments?
Well, I definitely have to echo what Mr. Mahoney said. Some things you may not have that much interest in, and you can't imagine how you would use them in the future, but they always seem to come back around. I know that students, the curriculum has changed a lot from when I was in school, and just kind of, you know, hearing parents and student complaints about, you know, not having avenues and trades and things that they would like to learn. So I definitely think as far as a district, we would do well with re-implementing the programs where, you know, college may not be the direct track for someone. So just being able to offer different programs for them to explore, cosmetology, you know, mechanics, just different avenues. So I can see both sides how that would be. And I think that the community and the school district should definitely listen to offer those different tracks.
Bishop, what do you think?
I guess I would echo Dwayne's sentiment as well. However, the young man needs to understand, and I see it in our summer day camp program with our summer day camp counselors. They've not yet developed the discipline necessary to survive in the world of work. And a lot of them have poor work ethics as a result of it. Many of them are, in fact, visual learners. And so we have to sort of help navigate that with them. so that they can be successful. It's a lot of our young people are going to need that help, especially in these days and time, because they can't make that connection necessarily.
Mm-hmm. Any thoughts on that, Wanye?
Yeah, just to piggyback off of what Mr. Mahoney said, I definitely see why students will see the things we do in school, like where it would get them and what's the point of doing it. But it definitely does teach you that discipline. You know, if you didn't have that discipline, you wouldn't know what to do in the real world when you get out to get a job and everything. So that discipline is definitely important. And I agree with Tamar as well, because we need those programs where I think society makes it out to be that you have to go to college after you graduate high school. And college isn't for everyone. So we definitely need programs to show cosmetology and other things to show students that you don't always have to go to college to be successful. You can do other things. So I definitely agree with both of them.
All right, let me grab a phone call. This is John in Rochester. John, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, Evan. Yeah, I got to tell you, I'm a graduate of the Boys Club from the 1960s in Buffalo. And it was a great organization. It sounds like it still is. Well, you know, I want to give them my condolences for what happened last year. It was a tragedy, and hopefully things will improve. And I just want to make a suggestion. The violence, I get six channels on HBO, and one movie after another is so violent. The gun violence is out of control. And I think the communities and organizations have to rally against this stuff that's coming out of the entertainment industry. I think it has a really detrimental effect on the communities across the country. And I've talked to a number of people, including police chiefs, et cetera, but I think somebody's got to do something with this entertainment industry. I think that has a lot to do with the violence.
John, thanks for the phone call. We had a conversation recently about movie ratings, for example. And there are movies. There was one film a couple of years ago with 500 deaths. But as long as they didn't show too much gore or blood, they got a PG-13 rating, not an R rating. And sometimes it makes you scratch your head. There's a lot of money that leans on that. The research is complex in terms of how violence impacts people. But what we know is kids who experience violence at a younger age have a harder time understanding what's fictional and what's not. And kids who experience violence at a younger age in the entertainment industry will deal with it and understand it better if they've got good adult mentors and role models, and not everybody does around them. Bishop, do you agree with John that the violence that's presented on screen, particularly to kids who may be more at risk, is a problem?
Yes, I do. One of the things that I feel very strongly about is that we need to somehow reduce children's exposure to violence and address the impact of trauma to children all across this nation. We have a lot of children who have been exposed to violence and trauma, and very, very, very few of them have gotten any help at all to deal with it. And it's just, it's in media, it's in the games that they're playing. Mm-hmm. A lot of parents buy the games to babysit, for lack of a better term,
sure,
the children, and it's not helping. It's giving them even greater exposure. So I think something needs to be done. Yes.
Tomorrow's a social worker?
I definitely agree. There's a lot of desensitization on violence where you have it through the video games, doing home visits, going into different houses and seeing the games set up there, hearing some of the conversations of students coming back, talking about different games that they played, and it seems like they've just gotten more and more advanced, more violent, just more detailed, yeah, inappropriate, yeah, things. And I definitely agree that we have a society that's allowing television and video games to raise our children, and we kind of have to reverse that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a Puritan, but I also think there's so many options to spend time with in the world. Why are we choosing that, particularly when it comes to kids? Before I grab another quick phone call, Dwayne will probably just tell you, you know, there's a lot of better options at the Boys and Girls Club than that.
Yeah, we also recognize that kids are gonna, as Tamara was saying, you know, we see so many kids that we do see some kids that have access to, especially on their phones, and obviously we can't oversee everything, and as parents as well as youth workers, when someone is on their phone. But we do know that trauma impacts kids in many different ways. We've just, as an organization, gone through trauma training for the staff on how to deal with kids that we think it's based off of a study by the CDC. And if kids have a certain amount of check marks from that ACE study, the CDC makes the argument that their brains can function a little differently based on the fact that they've been impacted by trauma. So for us, we wanted to help staff understand that and learn how to deal with kids that we feel like might be impacted by trauma. And it's also one of the steps that we're taking to become a trauma-informed organization. We're moving forward towards that as well.
All right, Mitch in Irondequoit, next up. Go ahead, Mitch.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to back up and add to the positive comments that were made about the point of learning a topic like history or social studies. Your guests were saying, yeah, it's a good thing from a discipline standpoint, but there's another deeper thing is that you go to school to learn to learn. And in a sense, it doesn't even matter what you're learning, but what you get out of going through high school and through college, if you go that route, is you learn how to learn. And it's proven that your brain gets wired up from those activities because it's like a muscle. And by learning any subject, you are training your brain. And we overlook the importance of that, and we try to attach some output, to the learning. Well, I'm going to learn history. There has to be this tangible output to it. No, I mean, learning for the sake of learning is a very important activity. And you talk about the visual learners. Yeah, well, I'm a visual learner, but one thing you've got to learn if you're a visual learner is how to extract your visual models from the written word. And that's something we need to learn in school. And history is just an excellent way that over the ages been proven to help people do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mitch, for the phone call. Thoughts from the panel? Anyone want to jump in and weigh on there? Tamara, Dwayne, you want to?
Yeah, I think he's absolutely right. I think sometimes it gets lost. I mean, I think you as a parent, you want to make sure that your kids are going to the right school and they're learning what they're supposed to learn. But, you know, you are supposed to be learning facts, details, things that you never learn before, and it doesn't necessarily have to connect with whatever you decide to do later in life. I mean, there's different reasons for why people go to school. But for me, I have two boys, and that's what I've when the argument came of, what should I do? And you're just trying to learn as much as you can, and then just apply it when it's necessary.
All right, we're down to about our last 90 seconds, and if you're just tuning in late here, we're talking about the Boys and Girls Club of Rochester, the work that they do, the way they have grown in the last year, and on Friday they'll mark a year since that mass shooting outside the Boys and Girls Club took the lives of three young men, Ray, Johnny, and Jonah. They're going to honor their lives on Friday. It is, as Dwayne Mahoney said, it's sort of, by nature, it's going to be a public ceremony, though it may be pretty crowded. But I guess it's Friday afternoon. Is you're doing that, Dwayne?
Yeah, Friday at noon, right by the three trees in front of the club, fairly close to where the three young men were laying when the tragedy ended.
All right, and so that's Friday afternoon. Let me just ask Dwayne to kind of wrap the hour with some positive thoughts going forward. Your thoughts on growth. You've seen a lot in this community. In many ways, marking that year, you could say it's been a tough year, but in many ways also it's been a healing and growing year. Mm-hmm. What do you want to leave the listeners with?
Yeah, I think it has. I think also, though, the more we heal as it relates to this particular issue, then you see these tragedies happen in other cities. We still have, issues here in our city as it relates to violence. And so, as Reverend Davis was saying, you know, those that are, there are many people working to do, you know, the anti-poverty initiative mm-hmm. that the mayor and Dr. Brock are working on, you know, the issue of gun violence in a comprehensive, I think is extremely important because, like I said, our, you know, last year it was the Boys and Girls Club. If we don't pay attention to it, it could be somewhere else in our community if we're not careful.
Wanye Bruce, when do you go to school?
I leave September 3rd.
It's coming up.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Summer's going pretty fast, hasn't it?
Too fast.
Well, I'd say good luck to you, but, you know, that's sort of a meaningless phrase for someone like you. You've made your luck, and I just want to congratulate you again, the Western New York Youth of the Year for the Boys and Girls Club. So continued success to you, Wanye.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Bishop Davis, great insight. Nice seeing you here. Thank you for being here.
Good to see you again.
Tamara Shepherd is a licensed social worker with the RCSD. Great insight from you as well. Thanks for being here, Tamara.
Thank you.
And Dwayne, you know, the work that you and your organization do for the community, there's no question about that. And let's say continued safety and success for you as well.
Thank you.
All right, short break. More Connectors next.